It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, man? It's your man Tony Wiggins here with another edition of Locked On Jaguars. On a hump day, on a Wednesday. I hope all is going well for all of you guys out there in Jaguar land as we try to figure out how this team's going to regroup and get ready for Sunday's home opener against the Denver Broncos, who are already off to a good start at 1-0. Really, really good defense. Teddy Bridgewater playing well. So we'll review a little bit of that and what this team has to do in the first segment. Segment number two, we're going to talk about some really important stuff now. People have been really critical of the Jags and of Urban Meyer, and but we're going to get into a little bit of the why and some of the things that I think might be hindering the team. And it's not egregious. It's just when you see a team that's unprepared, you're going to really try to hone in and focus on what the deal is, because you have to do that if you want to recognize what they have to do to absolutely move forward and just be better than they were the other day. And I don't think that's something that's too far out of the question for us to discuss. So we'll make sure we do that. And we'll try to be fair to everyone and not beat up on them and talk about too many rumors, as opposed to really, really talking about what's probably going on with the team for real. So we'll do that in segment one and segment two. We'll look at it from a personnel standpoint, and then we'll try to look at it from a cohesion standpoint between coaches. I'm going to give you a little hint. Sometimes you can think you're doing the right thing and you're trying to blend ideas when ideas aren't meant to be blended. I call it if you're trying to lose weight, right? You can't combine keto and South Beach. You're either going to do one or the other, because at some point one of them might work against the other one. You know what I mean? So, and I don't know if that's a true analogy, but I do think these diets are different for a reason. So we'll talk about that too. And then we'll talk about a little bit of how everyone keeps comparing Urban Meyer to Nick Saban. Folks are missing something with that, and with Pete Carroll. People are really, really missing something with that, and I'll tell you what that is too in segment three when we talk about coaches and how they have to start getting on the same page. But let's not bury it. We'll do the crossover episode tomorrow with Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos, where we'll really get a chance to go in depth with the matchups. But these games don't stop. When you have issues that you're trying to work on, sometimes the advice Urban gave the other day sometimes is the right advice. And what that advice is we got our butt whipped. And everybody's got their butt kicked before, so you have to move on. And Belichick, that time when he was like on to New England, on to Cincinnati, sometimes that's the perfect approach. When you look at and self-evaluate and realize that everything that could go wrong, Murphy's Law, went wrong. And you think about what those things are, and you have to realize and sometimes ask yourself, are we the type of team that are we going to do those things again? Can they be corrected? Now, Urban says a lot of the self-inflicted wounds can be corrected, and they'll have to be. And I'm sure those guys who've been playing football all their lives have identified some of the things that they've done incorrectly and done wrong, and they want to do those things right. But it's a difference between thinking about it, doing it in practice, and then being able to transfer that to game day when it really counts. So that's going to be pivotal, and that's going to be the key for them to stop with the self-inflicted wounds, the pre-snap stuff, the way you line up. And then you have to get into the things that have nothing to do with just lining up or how many people in the huddle. Like, you got to catch the ball. The coaches have to do a better job at clock management and game management. But the players have to be able to catch the ball. And then everybody, from players to coaches, the one thing I did see the other day, I didn't see quit. But what I did see was body language. In week one, you shouldn't have this body language when things aren't going right. And Urban may have to watch that a little bit. When you have a team that's trying to come together, you got to be coaching, man. You got to coach. And instead of just sitting back, I saw him a couple of times, hands on knees with his head down, like, this isn't going, it's week one. So when people on social media tell the media and the fans, you guys have to relax, it's week one, I said, tell it to your coach, because he looks like he's having a conniption when things don't go correctly. And I know he's upset, but I'd just like to see a little bit more interaction and coaching players as opposed to just showing disappointment with every single thing that happens on the field, because that permeates through the fan base and it gives us a reason to think like there's a bigger issue. Like, you can expect in games, guys aren't going to be successful every single play. So what's the bigger issue? And that's the thing that we're talking about trying to appease everyone and do things different ways. In the preseason, when Urban Meyer came out and said he wants to do things a certain way, I was like, figure it out. Do it. Don't let anybody dictate. If you're going to do it your way, do it your way. If you're not, then do it the other way. Sometimes doing it the same way, we're doing it, trying to do it both ways is detrimental, and it's worse than trying to do it one way or the other. So to get ready to this game for Denver, these guys got to get focused. These guys have to stop with the self-inflicted wounds, and then they have to trust each other that they're going to do the things that they're supposed to do. I would venture to say that they need to run the ball, and this is not going to be a full-fledged preview of the game because we'll do that on the crossover episode tomorrow. But I anticipate that they need to figure out a way to run the ball and get more balance, to not be so behind and down in distant situations because of pre-snap penalties or because of plays that get nullified because of penalties, and getting into first and forever, because that's how you start to – that's the beginning of you throwing the ball 51 times, and that's something Urban has admitted that he does not want to do. So we're going to go into it a little bit, talk about the players and the specific individual players who have to show up and show out in this game this week. Guys that are going to have to step up in the short and long term for this team to really, really be successful the way that everyone believes it should be. I'm going to talk about them. I'm going to just tell you who has to be great and who has to start playing above the X's and O's, not necessarily playing hero ball, but playing above the X's and O's. And I'm going to do that in the next segment here on a Wednesday, Hump Day, on Locked On Jaguars. Stay tuned. After you hear about betonline.ag, because I'm going to tell you something now, man. If you missed out on last week, I don't know what to tell you, because there were some games that shocked some people that could have got you a ton of money. I probably would have picked the Bengals, who were not the favorite. And, you know, when you get those favorites like that, and you play them a certain way, you can make those parlay tickets look real, real good. But it's back and it's better than ever. And betonline.ag is your online sportsbook experts. Here's what you have to do. You need to head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Now, that's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code Locked On to get that bonus. Football, basketball will be back soon enough. But boxing, UFC, all of that stuff includes your Vegas casino games, the favorite ones, the ones you like that you can make money. You have to take advantage of it right now with all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season and beyond. It's BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Remember to use that promo code Locked On to get a 100% welcome bonus on your initial deposit. Okay, man, so moving along here, the one thing that I did want to discuss with you guys today was players that have to step up this week to make last week a distant memory. And trust me, if there's one thing the fans of this team is used to doing, it's used to cheering for a team when things are down. And if there's another thing that these fans have obviously shown you over the years that they're willing to do, and that is, as soon as you do something good, they forget about what you did bad. So there's an opportunity here for the Jaguars to go out and play really, really well on Sunday. There's an opportunity here for some of that momentum that was lost based on how enthusiastic everyone was in the offseason. There's a chance to get some of that momentum back. And the way you have to do it is you have to out-block and out-tackle people and out-execute. And you can win the game and put yourself in a position to win this football game Sunday against Denver. One of the things that I think they have an advantage of is with Tyrod Taylor, he was very, very mobile. And I'm not saying that Teddy Bridgewater is a statue, but Tyrod Taylor is a little bit more elusive than Teddy Bridgewater. Maybe Teddy Bridgewater, who wants to be a down the field thrower of the football, who, you know, is mechanically sound, even though he can move a little bit, that's not really his strength. Maybe he'll be more of a stationary target for the Jaguars to be able to attack. it's going to be critical that they do it, because I do think with a rookie quarterback and Trevor Lawrence battling up against Vic Fangio, you know, with the way that, you know, he likes to dial stuff up and do things, with a front seven that includes future Hall of Famer in Von Miller, along with Bradley Chubb and some other nice little pieces, Denver's going to be a little bit of a challenge for the Jaguars offensive line. So I think what they need to make sure that they do is keep the game close enough so that it comes down to maybe you doing making them make a mistake, having a big special teams play, or finding something where you max protect and can hit somebody downfield and just try to come out with a victory. This is where the coaching staff, who we'll discuss in segment three again, is going to have to come up with a game plan where these guys don't have self-inflicted wounds and that they really give themselves a chance. I think one of the ways you can do that is obviously implementation of the running game with James Robinson. I think it's going to be critical that even if you don't think you have opportunities in the run game, you force it. Because what that does is, one, it shortens the game. It keeps the clock moving. Two, it keeps your defense on the sideline. And unfortunately, what that means is it may lead to the Jaguars playing a little bit slower than Urban wants. So Urban criticized the team a little bit. He said, you won't see us do 51 dropbacks. The problem is you got behind. And the other issue is when you want to play fast, sometimes I know you can play fast and run, but I think when you want to play fast and you want to open it up and you want to score points, You trust the guy that you think is the best player on your team, and that's a quarterback. I believe they have to find a happy medium, and I believe they have to find that happy medium, first of all, with each other and behind closed doors, because it ain't going to manifest itself on the field if you don't get it. Because we'll be right back where we were, and that's throwing stuff at the wall. So let me pinpoint some players that have to play well. James Robinson, but you have to give him the opportunity to play well. But James Robinson is definitely a player that has to play well. But it's all contingent on him getting the opportunity and the chances. And that means staying in a proper down and distance situation by eliminating mistakes. And then also just having a commitment to the run. Then you compliment him with Carlos Hyde, sort of the way that you saw the Houston Texans compliment their running backs last week with guys who were reserves. I like what they did by going to the tight end. And I was shocked that Chris Manhertz caught that ball down in the seam. But hey, man, use those guys. Use all of those guys that allow Trevor to get the ball out quicker. Then when those things start opening up, you can go downfield. There was a game in TIA Bank Field here in Jacksonville last Sunday where the winning team did exactly what I just said, and that was the New Orleans Saints. They did exactly what I just said. They used a lot of short passes with efficiency. Jameis Winston ran when he had the chance to, but they really committed to the run with both of the running backs. And then all of a sudden, when things kept going their way, their defense got fired up. Then late in the game, you see play action. We're going over the top. Boom, touchdown. So Josh Allen defensively has to play well. He has to be what Davenport and those guys were last week for the Saints. You really have to get after Teddy Bridgewater and knock him off his square, because I do think he's a better pocket passer than he is moving around. Those corners, I think Denver probably watched the tape and they're going to probably try to use some bunch formations. They got to figure out a way to stick on their people, jam these guys up at the line of scrimmage, and don't give them a free break to get out into the flat, which allows the quarterback to get the ball off too quickly. These guys really have to figure out a way to jam that stuff up and not make sure Teddy Bridgewater doesn't have those easy looks, because I think he's a better passer than Tyrod Taylor. Covering the backs out of the backfield when they catch the ball, it's critical. That's the easiest way for you to get in a short down and distance situation. They throw the ball out in the flat and the dude makes one move and he gets 6 yards. Now you're looking at second and four. That's a bad place to be in for a defense. So these guys are going to have to stop Dak, and that's Miles Jack. I think Miles Jack is going to have to be all over the field for the Jaguars to make sure that those flats are protected. The defensive line, when Denver does commit to running the ball with Melvin Gordon, who averaged like 11 yards a carry last week, they got to do a better job of stopping. And I know if you look at the stats against Houston, it appears that the defense, they did a pretty good job against the run. But overall, in my opinion, they didn't. It was 3.2 yards a carry. You're right. But they got, what did they get? 140 yards rushing or 150. That means they ran the ball enough when they wanted to. And you can't allow them to do that if if you're the Jaguars defense. Offensively, every wide receiver who the ball hits him in his hands, he has to catch it. This team is not good enough to make the kind of mistakes that they made the other day. And if they do that again this week, they will be 0-2. All right, so who gets those players ready for that? Who is responsible for making sure that these guys are able to come out and have a really, really good game? The coaches. What do the coaches have to do? Well, they have to be on the same page with each other before they can expect the players to be on the same page with whatever it is they're trying to implement. And we'll discuss those guys in segment three on a Wednesday edition, a hump day edition of Locked On Jaguars. After I tell you about DirecTV Stream, first of all, I'm going to tell you like this. There's nothing wrong with you getting some free streaming service because your buddy has five people he can put on his account. But the problem is when your buddy's at work and he didn't realize he paid his bill, you are suffering because you can't get in touch with him to tell him to pay his bill, nor can you call into his provider and pay it for him. That's why you need your own stuff. And where you get your own stuff is with DirecTV Stream. You need to do it because you need to get your TV together. Why? Because you need to have your own. There's a TV show or a commercial back in the day. It was, "No, my brother, you got to buy your own." With DirecTV Stream, it brings it all to you. Live TV, on-demand favorites, all of that stuff, man. You just have to have your own stuff, whether it's movies, sports, streaming services, all of that stuff, and it'll be an all-in-one place, and it'll be DirecTV Stream. DirecTV Stream can be, you can find more out about it at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Now, you need a compatible device for it, and the content varies by package. So you need to give them a call and find out how you can get your TV together, get all of your things in one place, and you can do it with no annual contract. Call DirecTV.com and ask about DirecTV Stream. And I'm going to let you know about Built Bar, because I feel like I've been telling you about Built Bar. Bro, I've been telling y'all about Built Bar since I was in high school, right? Because I know that I don't even have to read anything off the teleprompter because I know everything about Built Bar. The macros, high in protein, low in carbs, low in sugar, low in calories. I know all the flavors. There's 9 of them, and they're all covered in 100% chocolate. I usually like to just focus on my favorite, which is the salted caramel. But every now and then, I get sucked into the raspberry and sometimes the mint brownie, too, and the peanut butter brownie as well. And you can do the same thing by going to BuiltBar.com and entering the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off of your next order of Built Bars. Now, I'm telling you, if you're on a diet, don't worry about it, because you're going to eat this and you're going to think. I had a guy hit me up on Twitter just the other day, and I think I shared it, and he compared it to his favorite candy bar, which is awful for you, but he compared it to his favorite candy bar. You don't have to avoid eating something that satisfies your palate because you're working out and losing weight, because Built Bar is going to take care of you. So make sure you go to BuiltBar.com and enter the promo code LOCK15 and get your first order with a 15% discount. Also, check them out on Twitter. If you don't believe me, check them out on Twitter and you can read up all the information. It's @bar_built, and follow along and find out for any surprises that they might have for you with a special edition Built Bar. So it's Built Bar at BuiltBar.com. The promo code is LOCK15. We're going to roll along here on a Wednesday, and let's talk about these coaches, man. A lot of rumors, a lot of stuff said in the last couple of days about Urban Meyer and this, that. And I'm going to tell you, there's one thing that I disagree with. There's one thing that I absolutely disagree with, too, that people are saying. And one of those things is the term he's in over his head. Not really. I absolutely disagree with that. I think that's low-hanging fruit, and that's easy for people to say. But Urban Meyer is not in over his head as a football coach on any level. Trust me. What I believe he might be doing is underestimating and not understanding the workflow of the way football goes in terms of a few things. The offseason, how he admitted that after the first day of free agency, it didn't go like he thought. He thought he was going to be able to talk to guys and recruit them. You ain't recruiting nobody. The guys, how they do their talking? They go watch the tape. And I said that the day he said it, he thought he was going to be able to recruit people. These guys, you're not going to talk to a player. It's not like you're going to recruit a kid out of high school. and convince him that you're great, you're going to talk to his agent, because that's what agents are supposed to do. No, you don't talk to him. What are you going to talk to me for? Yeah, you'll talk to me if I got three or four of y'all and all of y'all are even. Now I want to look you dead in your eye and find out what you're talking about. But most of the times, I remember Malik Jackson came here. Malik Jackson said he didn't even fly to Jacksonville. He didn't talk to anybody. Malik Jackson's agent showed him what Dave Caldwell offered him, and he said, take it. This is what a lot of guys are like that. A lot of guys figure like, and that's not a negative thing, but it's more like, I'm going to do my job regardless of where I go, so whoever gives me the most money, that's where I'm going. Now, you're 26 years old, and people are talking about quality of life, and guys are sitting there. I sit around and smoke cigars and drink scotch with dudes all the time that talk about, man, dudes don't want to be in Jacksonville. They'd rather be in Miami and South Beach or Tampa or L.A. or whatever. That is the biggest crock of BS I've ever heard in my life. Because when you're a dude that's making $10 million a year, you know how close you are to Miami or L.A. on your day off? When you're in Miami or L.A. on your day off, do you know you got to go home at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night and prepare your body and get a massage and sit in a hot tub and make sure you got your nutritionist tightening you up, because you won't be in L.A. or Miami for long if you're not? During the season, these guys' lives are pretty much the same. It's myopic. They got tunnel vision. They're focusing on nothing but what they're supposed to be doing. The good teams. Now, the bad teams, you might get guys that's on boats in the middle of the week or somewhere doing something they ain't supposed to do. Occasionally, you'll see dudes at their alma mater standing on the sidelines on Saturday, and they'll take a jet back and fly back for the game on Sunday. But usually those games are on Monday or whatever. I got fans waving to me. Hey, baby, how you doing? Usually those things are on Monday or Sunday night. But because if a game's on Sunday, 9 times out of 10, especially those guys at a team hotel somewhere preparing with a curfew, they're in their rooms, especially the guys on the road. So don't get it twisted that you can recruit guys like that in the NFL. That's, guys want to be around money and they want to be around winners. First of all, I want the money. Second, after the money, especially young guys. Second, the thing I want to do after that, or if the money, if I'm going to get the money anyway, the next thing I'm looking at is winning. Winning. How am I going to have the best experience? Weather. Every now and then weather will play a part in it, because dudes don't want to be in the cold weather. But for the most part, man, that's overblown. So when Urban can admit that he made that he misjudged that and sort of made a mistake when it comes to that, then that tells you he has to take a look at himself and he has to say there's certain things that don't matter here. The competitions in practice. It's not trials, bro. This is not what this is. Subjectivity goes out of the window when you pay a dude in free agency or you draft him high at number one. He has to play. Because if he doesn't, you, even though you're the coach who's being subjective and doing the right thing, but you're also the guy who makes the decisions based on personnel. So you're wearing two hats. And sometimes those things don't match. There's no subjectivity. I've seen plenty of coaches get guys and not play them, and then they get fired because they didn't play the guy, the GM. So that's almost a hat that you signed up for. Using all of these coaches and getting their opinions on players. It's one thing we talked about coaches standing up on the table for guys. That the scenario when I mentioned coaches standing up on the table for guys is like during training camp, after guys have worked their butts off, when there are cuts to be made and a coach stands up for a guy, but the coaches are standing up for the dude because he likes him better than he likes the other people. He's just telling them, I'm telling you, he's better than him, and he's going to be better than him. We need to leave him on the team because he's going to be a good player down the line. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about coaches evaluating talent from other teams that they played against and saying, yeah, we need to sign him. Or co-signing a guy that played for you somewhere else saying, no, he's a great player. If you were there and he was a great player and y'all lost, I don't care. There are too many players in the world where you think a coach can do the evaluating. It's one thing to do it this year when there was an abbreviated process of evaluation. So you guys came in and you probably weren't going to keep a lot of the current scouts that you had. So you asked your coaches about guys that they knew in college, some of the college coaches that you brought with them. And you depended on your relationship that you had from recruiting circles because you knew the guys. And some of the vetting that other people who didn't have that privilege of recruiting these high school players, you had an advantage. But that advantage is not as big as you think it is if you're just going to totally eliminate what these guys' measurables and what the guys' actual production was in college and how they were able to work once they left high school and what they did while they were in college. And we had a lot of guys opting out. We had a lot of guys miss time. And so it was a little bit, we'll give you a little bit of mulligans, but when it appears that you value the coach's opinion more than the scouts, and that's what I've heard, that's a problem. That's a serious problem. Let me tell you why Urban Meyer, for those that say, well, he's going to flame out and he's going to, it's Nick Saban. Let me tell you why it's not Nick Saban. Because Nick Saban went back to college for two reasons. And that's because the Miami Dolphins training staff told him that Drew Brees was a medical red line and they took Dante Culpepper. They were wrong. Pissed him off. That's one. Two, because Alabama came calling and they're the big gorilla in college football. And he knew he could win there. And they begged him and begged him. And they were calling him. And they were going to give him every single thing he ever wanted. He says, I want this, 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 this. And they said, no problem. That's why he left. He wasn't leaving Miami for no other job. He didn't want the job in the first place. Wayne Huizenga begged him to take it twice. He said no, and then he finally said yeah. But here's the other difference, and this is the one that people don't realize. Way before Nick Saban was who you think he is, way before he was the guy who coached at Michigan State, Nick Saban was an NFL assistant under Bill Belichick and was the defensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns way before you ever knew who he was. So he had already been in the NFL and probably knew the NFL better than he knew college at some point. You didn't think about that, did you? Nick Saban was an NFL assistant coach a long time ago. Just like Tom Coughlin. People say he's a college coach. Tom Coughlin was the wide receivers coach for the New York Giants when Belichick was the defensive coordinator and Bill Parcells was the head coach and they were winning Super Bowls. These guys understood the league. They understood the workflow, the relationship between scouts, pro scouts, college scouts, what that entailed, how there's no way in hell you can be coaching in the NFL during the season and doing a good enough evaluation with college guys from Texas A&I or North Dakota State, not to mention the big schools, and really have in-depth knowledge when you're coaching, hopefully into January, and then the evaluation process starts in February. There's no way you can make up all of that time and have a coach have a bigger opinion than a scout. It's impossible. You know who you become when you do that? You become the Bengals under Marvin Lewis. And Marvin Lewis lost his job after doing as good as he could do all of those years because the Bengals had the smallest scouting department in the National Football League. And everybody knew it. Everybody. Which is why I used to get mad when the dude off the major network would sit there and opine that Marvin Lewis needed to get fired without even mentioning the fact that he had a fraction of the scouting budget and people working in the scouting department that the teams that he was playing against did. The coaches had to do all of the evaluation. They had to understand, and I don't know if people really understand the function of a team scout or a pro scout or a team scout who goes out in the college department and looks at these players. Those guys literally live in their car. And if you got teams that are doing that, the teams that are winning, Kansas City, the teams that are winning, Pittsburgh, the teams that are winning, Baltimore, the teams that are constantly knocking on the door, they have these scouting departments and they have relationships where coaches depend on the scouts. They're not asking their coaches to make personnel decisions and assessments. Doesn't happen. And until Urban and Bevel can get on the same page or choose which page they're going to be on, or hopefully, if they're fortunate and lucky, find that middle ground that they discussed that they were going to be trying to work on, this is going to look just like it looked the other day. is going to look disjointed. It is. It's like it's going to be like somebody can cook lasagna really well, and then somebody can fry chicken really well, and then you put them on a table in front of people, and folks go, "What the hell is this? I don't eat chicken with my lasagna." Period. Just give me a big plate of lasagna, some garlic bread, or give me some fried chicken with some green beans and some French fries or something. But don't try to put those two things together, because what you're going to get, you're going to get a hot mess. My grandmother, when we used to cook Sunday dinner, she's whenever there was leftovers, she put it all in one pot to not take up a bunch of room in the refrigerator. It was called leftovers for a reason. It's not the main course. That you know, you're getting blessed from a mess is what you're doing. Football don't work that way. You got to figure it out. Everybody has to be on the same page, and you have to be a computer program that you know who you are. And when you go out there, you're going to do exactly what it is that you're trying to accomplish. I know what I'm going to accomplish. I'm going to listen to the Locked On Bets podcast today before I go on and start putting all of my bets in and doing all of those things, because your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling get daily picks, blowout specials, your wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. They'll give that to you every single day. You need to follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcast. This is your man, Tony Wiggins, man, here with another edition of Locked On Jaguars, which is your team every day. And it's free on all platforms, YouTube, as well as Spotify, Odyssey, Apple, everywhere you get your podcast, you can find it free. Ain't nobody going to charge you a thing to listen to this. So we thank you for listening every day, as we always do. We say take care of each other. And we'll see you on tomorrow with a crossover edition with Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos. Until then, you guys take care. One love.